things we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin here in the Washington area and a sports story that's making both local and national headlines. The University of Maryland, located just outside Washington in College Park, Maryland, has been embroiled in controversy surrounding its men's college football team. Head coach DJ Durkin has been placed on administrative leave. The team's strength and conditioning coach, Rick Court, has resigned, and there are ongoing investigations after the death of 19-year-old lineman Jordan McNair. McNair died June 13th after suffering heat stroke during a preseason practice May 29th. Joining us now is VOA intern and former college football player Alex Hodge. Hi, Alex.
How you doing, Sonny?
Welcome to Studio 22, Alex. Take our listeners back to May 29th. What exactly happened with Jordan McNair?
Well, on this day, the University of Maryland football team was completing 10 110-yard wind sprints. McNair was finishing his 10th 110-yard wind sprint with the assistance of his teammates. Almost an hour later, McNair suffered a seizure. It was then an hour after that someone called 911.
What about these wind sprints, Alex? Are they a common exercise for college football teams?
They are very common in every football team, especially at the Division I football level, yes.
Can you talk about McNair's size?
McNair was 6'4", 325 pounds. He was an offensive lineman.
Do you think that factored into his death?
I think that definitely played a factor.
In terms of the history of these type of incidents, Alex, has it happened before at the collegiate level?
It has happened before. Actually, in June, there was a player for the University of Maine who unfortunately passed away during off-season workouts.
In terms of the off-season workouts, Alex, is there kind of like an acclimation period for players as they adjust to the heat and the pads?
There is. They usually start off without pads, and then they start with the helmet. Then they go to the helmet and shoulder pads. Then they go to the full pads to get acclimated to the new equipment in the collegiate level.
There was a story from ESPN, very critical of DJ Durkin and the atmosphere surrounding the Maryland program. They used words like toxic, humiliating players. Is there truth to what ESPN wrote?
It seems to be some truth, as there are some current players and some people associated with the program who discuss Durkin and the strength coach's toxic coaching culture.
Alex, how much blame should be placed on head coach DJ Durkin?
I think Durkin should take full responsibility, as he is the head coach of the football program. He was actually present during the workouts and should have seen something was wrong and stepped in a lot sooner.
On Tuesday, Alex, in College Park, the University of Maryland's president as well as athletic director, they both spoke at a news conference. Tell our VOA listeners what they said.
The athletic director took responsibility legally and morally for what had happened to Jordan McNair. They have since apologized to the family and to the fans of the University of Maryland.
You use that word legally, Alex. Do you think McNair's family will be filing a lawsuit against Maryland?
I most definitely think they will, because it's negligence, and that's their son that they left in another person's care, and now he's dead.
Alex, getting back to DJ Durkin, do you think he'll be fired?
I think DJ Durkin will be fired. DJ Durkin has a really good track record with Maryland so far, but this situation is too serious and too grave for somebody to come back.
What about the athletic director at Maryland? Should he be held accountable?
I think he should, because the athletic director should oversee what's going on in the program with different sports. There's a lot of players that cite a toxic coaching culture and abuse, so I think they should have seen something a lot earlier.
Alex, you mentioned the incident involving a University of Maine player at preseason practice. What about in the professional ranks, the National Football League? Has something like this happened in the NFL?
Yes. In 2001, Corey Stringer, he was an offensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings. He was pretty well known. He was a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. And he unfortunately passed away during training camp due to heat stroke.
How do you treat heat stroke? And do you feel that Maryland took the proper steps in treating Jordan McNair?
Well, with heat stroke, it's a combination of strenuous activity and the temperature outside. You should really drink a lot of water and cut back on the activity. Based off what I've read, Maryland did not handle that situation properly because McNair suffered a seizure, and then they didn't call 911 until an hour later. And keep in mind, this is a 325-pound young man.
Finally, Alex, can other schools and universities learn from this tragic incident involving Jordan McNair and maybe take the necessary steps in terms of medical treatment of players at future practices?
I hope this situation is a wake-up call to all coaches from the peewee levels to the professional levels. This is something that should be taken seriously, and it should have been taken seriously, but unfortunately it hasn't. And it's taken the death of a 19-year-old young man for people to finally realize.
Thanks, Alex. That's VOA intern and former college football player Alex Hodge. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. La Liga, Spain's top-flight soccer division, has just announced a landmark deal with Facebook. With more details, here's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, if Amazon has rights to the Premier League, you knew it wouldn't take long for Facebook to pick up the baton, and there'll be some happy soccer fans in the Indian subcontinent. La Liga has reached a deal with Facebook that will allow viewers in 8 South Asian countries to watch every game for free. All 380 league matches for the next 3 seasons will be broadcast to Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, Nepal, the Maldives, Sri Lanka, and Pakistan. Prior to Tuesday's announcement, La Liga's head of digital strategy said, "The social media giant is the key element for offering content to the widest audience possible." In fact, India tops the list for the number of Facebook users at 270 million alone. Elisabeth Manoli is a sports marketing lecturer at Loughborough University in England. Manoli says the move to provide free soccer games across South Asia is the right strategy to build the sports fan base and keep young viewers on Facebook.
What we see now with Southeastern Asian countries is an interest towards the sports, but also the potential. The population there is a great number of people, and it's also an untapped market. So one could argue that whoever goes in first and whoever manages to captivate the audience might be the one with the most interest in the future. So they might be building up for the future fan base in the area.
La Liga and Facebook declined to state the price of the deal, but their relationship unseats Sony Pictures Network, which paid a reported $32 million to broadcast La Liga between 2014 and 2018. The new deal is just the latest in an ever-growing trend in sports, and not a first for Facebook. In 2017, Facebook broadcast weekly Major League Baseball games in the U.S. and agreed to a deal with 11 Sports earlier this month. Manoli says the new media trend comes as no surprise to television broadcasters, but they'll need to make adjustments.
We see a change in the system. The ecosystem of broadcasting is changing radically. But we have some very strong players already, and I don't know if they will be willing to sit on the side whilst other broadcasters take their spot. So we'll have to wait and see how traditional broadcasters react to this. It's a new phenomenon, and it is increasing, but we haven't seen the response yet. My opinion would be to just wait. We've already seen the initial steps being taken. The next steps will be possibly the crucial ones to determine what the future will be.
And while the deal with Facebook is a huge step for La Liga, Manoli says it's merely the latest in a new era of broadcasting.
I wouldn't say it's a shock to broadcasters. I think this is one of the things that we've been talking about for a while. We've been expecting that social media and new media will be the new players on this field. So it's not a shock. I think it's what we will see more and more in the future. Facebook has already done this. They've already bought the TV rights for Major League Baseball, and they tried to buy the cricket league rights. So it's not really a shock. It's just a progression. It's an evolution of the broadcasting field.
La Liga opened an office in New Delhi in 2016, and its operations manager for India says the deal is a first step for La Liga, and its success could unlock other territories around the world. And that's all from me. More sporty news to come. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're listening online right now, or you have access to a computer, I encourage you to go to facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny, because we're going to do a Facebook Live video. Facebook Live video. You can see my smiling face, as well as reporter Prince Nesta, who joins us now with more soccer news, as well as a story about a Spanish Formula One racing driver. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Two-time world champion Fernando Alonso has announced he will retire from Formula One at the end of the 2018 season. The McLaren driver will end a career that began with a debut for Minardi at the Australian Grand Prix of 2001. The 37-year-old Spaniard, who is competing in his 17th Formula One season, won 2005 and 2006 championships when racing for Renault. Alonso said, and I quote, "After 17 wonderful years in this amazing sport, it's time for me to make a change and move on." McLaren is set to announce Carlos Sainz as his replacement later this week. Here's a roundup of the best reaction on social media to the announcement. Former Ferrari race car driver Felipe Massa tweeted, and I quote, "Congratulations, Alonso. Be happy and enjoy your next challenge. For me, you are one of the best drivers in the planet. Take care and God bless you." Has Formula One driver Roman Grosjean tweeted, and I quote, "It has been a privilege and an honor being your friend, your teammate, and racing against you in Formula One. I will miss you at the end of the season." The guy set to replace him, 23-year-old Carlos Sainz Jr., who's currently racing for Renault and also son of former double world rally champion Carlos Sainz, tweeted, and I quote, "We're gonna miss you a lot, Alonso. My passion for this sport started thanks to you, and I consider myself a very lucky guy to have shared 4 years of Formula One racing with one of the best ever. Time to keep profiting from the second half of the season."
Let's give a shout out to my former VOA colleague, Joe DiCapua, tuning in on Facebook Live. Joe writes, "Sonny, Sonny." I guess Joe sees my smiling face on Facebook Live. Bayini Sangare writes, "Cool, cool Facebook Live. Asukwo Ensa, good, good. Abdul Kane checking in." They're checking in from all over because we're Facebook Live and right now, Prince. Facebook Live in Africa, in the USA, in Europe, all over the world. Facebook Live. We're bringing it, Prince. Bringing it. Prince, how do you feel about Fernando Alonso's decision to call it quits?
Quite sad. He's one of Formula One's all-time greats, and Formula One is going to be surely poorer without him. Most people actually forget that it was Alonso who ended Michael Schumacher's five-year dominance of the Drivers' Championship when he won the first of his titles in 2005, actually becoming the youngest ever driver to win the title. He has also finished championship runner-up three times, and although the Spaniard hasn't won a race for more than 5 years, he's still sixth in the all-time list of race winners, having achieved 32 wins, 22 pole positions, and 97 podium finishes. Thanks for putting everything on the line and for the entertainment, Alonso. We will surely miss you. All the best.
Prince, I think you could say we're putting everything on the line right now. Yeah. Facebook Live, everything on the line. On the line right now. Prince, switching to football, I understand there's history in the making today, since it'll be the first time in 43 seasons that both teams competing for the UEFA Super Cup will be coming from the same city. Tell us about that, Prince.
Spot on, Sonny. You got that right. Real Madrid will play their first competitive game without Cristiano Ronaldo when they take on city rivals Atletico Madrid in the UEFA Super Cup that will be played in Estonia later this evening. For those who don't know, the UEFA Super Cup is a contest pitting the reigning UEFA Champions League champions and the UEFA Europa League champions. New Real manager Julen takes charge of his first game since Zinedine Zidane left as manager. It's also worth noting that Real Madrid have only won just one of their past 10 La Liga games with Atletico.
Prince, I want to give another shout out for one of our Facebook Live viewers right now. Clement and Nana Sika writes, I'm watching this video from Ghana. I've been to Ghana twice, Prince.
Yeah.
Beautiful people there in Ghana. A very peaceful country. I love my visits to Ghana. So we give a shout out for Ghana. We give a shout out for the Black Stars of Ghana, Prince.
For sure.
And I think the Black Stars have to be considered among the favorites for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations title, Prince.
And even the 22 World Cup, who knows?
Let's get back to that all Madrid matchup this evening, Prince. Yeah. Who do you think has the best chance of winning?
And my prediction is that it's going to be a tough match for Real Madrid mentally, considering the fact that they have lost their prolific striker who used to score approximately 50 goals in a season, Cristiano Ronaldo. However, historically looking at this particular game, Real Madrid has an advantage since they could become the first side to win three successive Super Cups in a row. They should also feature the player that is on everyone's lips, the speedy, great passer and dribbler Vinicius Jr., who's still 18 years old and recently signed from Flamengo Club in Brazil. The arrival of shortstopper Courtois from Chelsea could also be an added advantage, Sonny. And looking at Atletico, Atletico have also been boosted by Antoine Griezmann, who decided to stay with them. Moreover, Atletico have also signed great players, including Thomas Lemar and Croatian striker Nikola Kalinic, who should pose real trouble to Real Madrid's defense. But my prediction, if you ask me, Atletico Madrid is going to walk away with a win, 1-0.
Prince, my former high school teammate, Jim Thompson, shout out for the Rangers of Trape Academy. Jim, watching this video, I think from Sweden, and he says, Sonny, how come I'm not seeing any Swedish curling on the show right now? I can't say I cover a lot of curling on the Sunny Side of Sports, Prince. I do want to give another shout out for Bishop Clarence M. Bisa watching this Facebook Live video from Monrovia, George Weah territory, the capital of Liberia. Shout out for the Lone Star of Liberia, Prince.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, to some transfer news, Wilfred Zaha has committed his future to Crystal Palace by signing a contract extension. The Ivory Coast forward signed a new 5-year deal, earning around $165,000 a week, making him the highest earning player at Selhurst Park. Zaha, who joined Palace at the age of 12, has made 288 appearances and scored 44 goals in two spells at the South London club, either side of a brief period with Manchester United. Nigerian defender Kenneth Omeruo has also been sent on loan for a seventh time by English Premier League club Chelsea since he joined them in 2012. And this time around, Sonny, he will be spending the season with the Spanish La Liga side Leganés. Omeruo, who is also yet to play a competitive game for Chelsea, has earned 40 caps for the Super Eagles, including appearances at the Confederations Cup, African Cup of Nations, and the World Cup. To Algeria, Algerian Islam Slimani has also signed a season-long loan with Turkish side Fenerbahce. Slimani scored 13 goals in 46 appearances for Leicester City after signing from Sporting Lisbon on a 5-year deal in 2016. Let me also sign out, Sonny. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Prince. Prince Nesta with that package of football news, as well as the auto racing news regarding Fernando Alonso. Keep going with the Facebook Live video. Youssef Vitanova, He says hello from Morocco. This is continent-wide, Prince. This is continent-wide. We're going to go from Morocco to Liberia to Ghana to South Africa. Sunny Side of Sports is continental, Prince.
There's only one place that all this can happen, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love it. And I do encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Go to that address right now, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. We are Facebook Living, Facebook Living. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll also see a nice and sporty photo from Reuters photographer Jean Bizamana. Jean had an exciting shot of Samuel Mugisha, who my VOA colleague Gwen Uten reported on during Tuesday's show. The 20-year-old Mugisha became the youngest cyclist to win the Tour of Rwanda. And I remember Gwen saying, "Go Rwanda! Go Rwanda!" on Tuesday's show. Well, let's also say, "Go Samuel Mugisha!" the winner of the Tour of Rwanda. Let me also say a warm hello to Ma Saiba's son, Eric. I hope I got that name right. Ma Saiba's son, Eric. He is watching us right now from Liberia. Ooh. George Weah territory,
amazing
Prince.
Amazing stuff.
What did you think of that report we had on earlier in the week where they talked about the memories they had when George Weah played for that Cameroonian club?
I really enjoyed it, by the way. And then they also had this song that, you know, just made me swing to and fro. It was such an amazing report, you know, looking at George Weah from when he started his football career to becoming president of Liberia. It's such an amazing and fantastic stuff.
I'm going to ask my videographer, keep panning, Ruth, keep panning over to Alex. Alex Hodge in studio right now. Studio 22, we heard from Alex earlier in the show. Bring it in a little bit, Alex. Bring it in so we can get you by the microphone. And Alex, can Maryland football recover from this controversy right now over the program?
Right now, it's going to be very tough to move forward, but they can most definitely move forward in the future and recover from this tragic circumstance.
Now, I know we talked earlier before we came in the studio that you don't know some of the Terrapins personally, but you do have some sort of peripheral relationships with the players. Talk about that.
Yes, I have. I've actually seen some of them play in high school. I've seen some of them on the street, just a casual say hello and just keep it pushing. But I'm looking forward to Maryland Terrapins to have a really good season coming off this horrific tragedy, but let's see how they move forward.
And again, we also send condolences to the family of Jordan McNair. As we talked about earlier in the show, the 19-year-old McNair died in June after suffering heat stroke during a Maryland practice. And I know Maryland's, they got to play Texas in their opening game. Can they somehow overcome this controversy, Alex, and you know, beat Texas?
Well, I hope so. That should be a really good game opening week one. And let's just hope that they can handle this situation accordingly and they can move forward with their season.
And again, thanks to Alex Hodge, former collegiate football player and VOA intern. Thanks also to Prince Nesta behind the microphone here in Studio 22.
And thanks also to Ruth Adisu right now on the other side of the camera, you know, with the Facebook Live.
Shout out for videographer Ruth. Thank you, Ruth. And that wraps up the August 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer this evening, Bill Werkinger. And that wraps up the August 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I hope you tuned in on Facebook Live. Lots of excitement. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Ethiopia has been suffering the effects of a devastating series of droughts, which began 3 years ago when the El Niño weather pattern caused higher temperatures in this country of 100 million people. While an above-average rainy season this year is expected to help improve agriculture in parts of the country, the damage done by several consecutive failed rainy seasons has been significant, resulting in widespread crop failures and devastating loss of livestock, and leading to successive humanitarian disasters. Further compounding the situation is a large-scale displacement of approximately 1 million people since April in the West Guji and Gedeo zones of the Oromia region and Southern Nations Nationalities and Peoples region, respectively. This newly displaced population is in addition to the 1.6 million Ethiopians already pushed from their homes by conflict or drought. With large-scale displacement occurring along the border of the Oromia and Somali regions, who need immediate vital humanitarian assistance. Today, as a result of these conditions, nearly 8 million are facing hunger, particularly in Oromia and southern Somali regions. In late July, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, announced an additional $170 million in humanitarian assistance to support the people of the Federal Democratic Republic of Ethiopia. This new funding brings the total U.S. humanitarian contribution for Ethiopia to more than $802 million since October 2016. The funds will go toward emergency food and nutrition assistance, life-saving medical care, shelter, and safe drinking water, as well as programs to improve sanitation and hygiene programs to stop the spread of preventable diseases. This assistance will provide vital humanitarian aid to millions of Ethiopians trying to recover from the shocks suffered since 2016, as well as to refugees who are seeking shelter in Ethiopia. This assistance will meet the immediate needs of those displaced, keeping them healthy so that they can return home safely and voluntarily, resume productive lives, and participate in the process of addressing the root causes of conflict, said USAID Mission Director to Ethiopia, Leslie Reed. The United States urges additional contributions from the government of Ethiopia and for the community of nations to meet the needs of vulnerable Ethiopians.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, fresh off a two-nation Africa visit to Zimbabwe and Malawi, Shaka Sali talks about the fascinating people he met and the challenges he encountered reporting on democracy in Africa. On the road with Shaka on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.